Matt Jones and a very special guest, Houston Nutt.
Yes, very honored to have Coach Nutt down here at SEC Beach Fest down here, and got to spend a little time with him yesterday at dinner at the Wharf, and that was a pretty cool spot. And then again today at breakfast, was that the Cobalt, I believe?
That's right. Sure was. Beautiful spot.
Well, okay, so what have y'all been talking about? Come on, spill the beans.
Well, we talk about what shoes go with our jeans best. What's funny is, and Trey, I think I've told you this story. Me and my wife, Caroline, we're going on our honeymoon, all right? And we show up in Maui, and I'm going in the first day I get there to go get my workout in, because after that I had to go to Cincinnati, for tryouts or whatever. And so first person I see is Coach Nutt's wife when I'm walking up there, and they were there. So it was pretty cool that, and then to have him down here, it's always good to connect and just to hang out.
Dinah wants to know when we're going back, Matt.
It's nice. It was nice over there. I'm telling you,
real nice. No, but it's always, Trey, it's always good to catch back up, especially with a former player who was just sensational during his time, and we talk a little bit of ball, but mostly it's about family and what his dad and mom and twins, what they're doing. And when you go into somebody's living room, to me, that's the one of the things that I miss about recruiting, is the early stages of it. It's about relationships, and that's the one thing I miss about football, is the relationships. And when you meet Matt's mom, dad, they were teachers and educators like my folks were, so there was an instant connection. And then, of course, his sisters were good athletes. They were balling, So there's always a lot to talk about.
And speaking of that, it was I believe he came to a Northside basketball game, and I was playing against the team that I grew up, where my dad coached from when I was a fourth grader on. And one of the very first plays, I got a dunk, and I was excited. Coach Nutt is there, and he knew that I wanted a chance to play basketball up on the hill too. And I knew Coach had played both sports in college, and so that was a real connection we had right there as well. And one of the first days up there, I believe it was the first off season, Coach and your brother Danny, and we went and played some basketball
in the Hyper?
with Clark
Moore.
Oh yeah,
and it was a fun time. And
who won?
And I tell you, Trey.
I want to know who won.
We got lucky because. Danny was off a little bit on his shot. What were you saying? Rat? I forget what you were saying.
He couldn't hit the open jumper, and
we couldn't
Matt
leave
was trying
him open,
to post
no,
us. Matt
yeah.
was trying to post us using his length on us.
Right.
But what Coach Nutt would be, he would be saying, you reach, I teach. You reach, I teach.
Coach, you gotta keep him off the block. You got to push him off the block.
I know it. Exactly. Couldn't do it.
Coach, what do you miss most about this time of the year? I know you talked earlier about being able to go into homes and recruit, but here, 2 weeks away from the start of games.
Yeah, this is always the funnest time to me, is when they meet back in August, after the winter, after the spring, after the summer workouts are already done, come back, and this is where you put together your team and all the work they've done. I really miss it because it was eat, sleep, football. There wasn't a test. There wasn't school. You're just getting ready, and especially for the first game. Now you get into 2 weeks, about 13 days out, and it's that grind, and the players are – they're hitting that wall almost. So this was usually the time I'd maybe take them to a swimming pool or maybe a bowling.
We went to AO and did that, watch a movie.
Yeah, exactly.
You did a good job with that because you start actually getting fights with your teammates.
No question.
It seems about this time you're right, because you're ready to hit a different color jersey.
Exactly, man. You want to hit somebody else. You've been hitting each other, beating each other up, and your muscles a little sore. Everybody's a little cranky. Even coaches are cranky. So this is the time I tried to, hey, look, there is light at the end of the tunnel, fellas. We're getting ready to turn the corner and get ready for first game. You really missed August. August was fun time.
Yeah, and what was fun also was seeing the freshmen come in. I know every other year after you are a freshman, your eyes are kind of big your freshman year. And I've told Trey this, that the only freshman that came in and it could go right away was Sean Andrews.
Right.
And how tough it is. And we've had some people call in and say, they think 16 freshmen are going to play on this year's team. I said, they might not win four games if you have 16 freshmen playing, which I don't know. I think that number's too high.
Yeah.
But it's physical football in the SEC, and it's tough for a true freshman, a 17, 18-year-old kid, come in with 21, 22-year-old kids and really compete at that high level.
No question. No question. You hopefully they don't use 16. If you do, you're really, you're needing some bodies in the worst of ways. But you're right. You know, our numbers are usually about 6, 7. Sometimes we get to 9 on those special teams. But you're right. Sean Andrews from Camden, Arkansas, he was something special that could so dominate. And I don't know if you've ever seen him on a basketball court, Matt.
I play with Jason Peters now.
Two great ones.
And speaking of that, up there in summer workouts with Don Decker and stuff, that Sean got out there one of the first days and said, I'm going to play some tight end. You know how he was. I'm going to play some tight end. And got out there and ran a route. And I think I threw it, one of my LSU throws or something, down in the dirt almost. And he goes down and just fingertips it and catches. Great athlete.
Unbelievable. So light on his feet. He looked like a big old 6'6" teddy bear. But I tell you what, if you go back and watch film and study this guy, you can see why this guy was a special athlete, because he could get on you and maul you and just eat you up.
And not only how strong he was, but how quick he was is what surprised me with him and Peters. And one of the first times in the hyper playing basketball, like the first or second possession, Peters is pointing up like this. He wants me to throw him an oop. And I'm like, well, what is this? I'm not throwing him an oop. So he kind of looks at me, gets mad at me about 4 or 5 times down the court, same thing. He probably wasn't hustling, getting back on defense. So I throw him oop, and I think I throw it too high, and he just goes up and gets it and about takes it down.
Athletic.
Trey, I was going to tell you that they knew where we were running. If it was 3rd and 1, we were running right over Sean and Peters, and they still couldn't stop it. That's how good they were.
You're right. They could create a hole that a Mack truck could drive through.
That's right. That's right.
Coach, one thing I miss is the straw hat this time of the year. But I want you to put on your analysis hat, and let's try and look at this Arkansas football team. And I know you've probably seen it from afar a little bit, but what do you think Brett Bielema is trying to get accomplished here in these last couple of weeks before their first game, August 31st?
You know, the first thing that just noticing from afar is, look like he's really reaching out, not only to his players, but former players, fans, alums. I think that's important for Arkansas. I think that's a good thing. These next 2 weeks, the thing that he's really trying to zero in on is what are the 3 best plays that he can really execute? What are we going to hang our hat on? We got one go. We have to have this team ready to go here in 13 days. And what's the best thing that Brandon Allen can do? The one thing about Brandon Allen, I watched him grow up. Bobby Allen worked for me during those years, and I watched him play on Saturday at YMCA, junior high, and high school. The one thing about Brandon is he is a winner, and he just needs some help. He needs a supporting cast. So I'm sure Coach is really zeroing in, give him things that's going to be the things that he can execute and be successful with. And who he can rely on, who's the guy, whether it be Williams or the Collins or one of those wide outs, which one are those guys he feels like that he can go to, have plays that they
like
can execute.
Like a George Wilson.
Exactly, exactly. Mm-hmm. And then defensively, I tell you, the thing about it is this first game, in watching them last year, I had about 3 or 4 games them last year in the studio, was this is a very athletic team. You can't take this first, okay, Louisiana Lafayette's not really a big-time BCS. Be careful now. This team is very athletic. They'll come in not really afraid of the atmosphere because they played some bigger teams.
And I think we had a close game. It was either my sophomore or junior year, and I don't know if it was Lafayette or not, but we won by, I think, 10 points or 12 points, but it was closer than that, it felt like.
No,
you're right, and I think they are picked to win the Sun Belt this year.
Mm-hmm, exactly. So they got a lot of returning starters, a lot of quarterback returns. So my point is, these next few days, you really have one more week of physical practice that you can really maybe put the pads on, maybe have one more physical scrimmage Saturday night. And then after that, it's now just polish it up, stay fundamentally sound. Let's get 3 or 4 plays offensively we know we can execute. And then, what are we going to do in the passing game? What can we protect for Brandon Allen? And then defensively, you got to stop their 3 or 4 best plays.
Is this team that Brett Bielema inherited, is it different than the team you inherited in 98? And if so, in what ways?
Yeah, well, that's a good question. It's much different because when I walked into that room, Trey, in 98, I kept looking at Keith Burns and Dean Weber and my brother, and I said, golly, now this team looks, and I hadn't seen everybody, but this team looks right. When you look at Anthony Lucas at wideout, mm-hmm. when you look at Clint Sterner, who had
some veterans, yeah,
veterans, you know, who've been through, they just been beat up. They were lifeless, and what I mean by that was they had no confidence. They weren't passionate. They weren't together, and they didn't believe that they could win. And so, but what I inherited, though, was big time guys that wanted to win. Brandon Burlsworth, Grant Garrett, Russell Brown, Ryan Hale, they wanted to win in the worst way. And
the seniors want to leave that legacy.
No.
But, you know, like you're saying, Coach, you've been beat up, but you know it's your senior year. You want to go out on
you
top of some
out.
Victories.
So this is different to me. This is a little bit different team. This team was beat up last year, hurt, and I don't see quite the veterans, especially in the offensive line. Mm-hmm. The offensive line and D-line, I don't see it. Now, defensive line, not too bad, but offensive line, I don't see it.
Coach, can you stick around for one quick second?
You bet.
All right.
You bet.
Welcome back to Overtime. The Freaky Joe Franklin, Trey Schaap, Matt Jones, and former Arkansas and Ole Miss head coach Houston Nutt joining us from SEC Beach Fest in Alabama. Coach, you have been known for your pregame speeches in your time at Arkansas. If you were in that locker room on August 31st giving the pregame speech before Arkansas takes on Louisiana, knowing the season the team had just had, what would be your pregame speech?
Well, it's hard, you know, not being there. You don't really know. But I think the biggest thing, and just off the cuff, but one of the things to me that's important is, you know, these are the best days of your life as a college player. These are truly the best days of your life. And I would remind them, hey, you're playing for a very special institution. You're playing for the Arkansas Razorbacks. And, hey, there are Lions and there's Tigers and there's Bears. But let me tell you something, there's not but one Razorback. And so what we're going to do today is – we're fixing to go show these people here how hard we can play. And you can make a mistake today. That's okay, as long as you're going full speed. And I'd ask the offense to protect the ball. And we hand you the ball. That means we believe in you, and we're giving you our life possession, our most valuable possession. You have to protect it, and we're not going to turn it over. And defensively, we're going to arrive in some bad moods, and we're going to go gang tackle and put that Razorback helmet on that ball and turn it over three times. And I would just finish with, you know, it's really something special to be a Razorback today. And about that time in the background, I would time it up where you would hear our fans calling Woo Pig Suey. And if that doesn't give you chills, if that doesn't give you goosebumps, Something's not right.
I'm ready to go play right now, Trey.
Go play on the beach. Let's go.
And Trey, I'll tell you that when we were freshmen and we came in, and I don't even think we practiced yet, and it was just the freshman that came in, and he talked to us for 20 or 30 minutes. We didn't even know a play, but we were ready to go play. And that's as a player. I've been on teams where players don't respect the coach, or they're not going to play for him. And Coach Nutt is a coach where – players, they feel like he's out there with them, leading us out there on the field. And you get more out of your players that way. And like Coach was saying, some of the worst looks I got from Coach when, you know, I got a couple and there's some plays I wish I had back. But when I turned the ball over in the red zone,
yeah.
You know, that was one thing he stressed.
Right.
You cannot turn the ball over in the red zone, and so I'd do that, and that you felt about that big, you know. Doing that.
What about dunking over the goalpost?
I was going to say, Coach, we've got that, Coach. We've got that blown up in here from the front page of the sports section in the studio. What did you say to MJ after he came over after that?
You know, I was looking when he dunked it. I knew where my son was, and my son was just jumping up and down, giving high fives to his buddies. And I was just looking like, now, wait a minute, we got a three-touchdown lead, I think, or something.
It was three. That put us up 21.
We're a three-touchdown lead. And I said, Matt Jones, you just ignited the other sideline. What are you doing? And so as he walks the sideline, he's kind of halfway looking at me, and I look at him, and I just kind of shake my head, and I just turn around and start walking the other way because, hey, it's done. And, You know, I knew in the back of my mind he's mentioned that it was senior day, yep. And he'd mentioned it at, going off the field a couple of practices. Coach, now you know. Now if we get up now, I'm going to dunk this ball. Now I said, no, wait, we got to be at least 40 points up now.
And I'll tell you this, Dow Loggins. Okay, the play we ran. Well, here's the deal. Dow and I were roommates at my last year, and the play we ran, we moved Darius Howard over to the other side, and two of their guys come over. That's the only time we ran that play.
Right.
And so I knew, and Coach Wickie had said, visualize this. I said, I'm going to score on this play. You know, it's like one of those where I wasn't going to give the ball no matter what. You know, I was going to make one, two, miss, whatever. And they just went with Darius Howard and just opened up. It was cool. It was senior day, and it's I will tell you, it's a selfish act, and I wouldn't have, honestly, if it wasn't senior day and we weren't up three touchdowns, I wouldn't have done it. If it's a tie ball game, no way would I have done it.
I'm laughing now, but I promise you that during that game I was a little bit nervous. I really was after he did it.
Matt, act like you've been there before.
That's right. That's one thing my dad told me. I was seventh grade, did something, put the ball up in the air as I was going over the goal line or something, and thought I was big time stuff, and he about slapped my helmet off and said, no, that's not what we do. You know, you act like you've been there before. And that's one thing Coach Nutt was really good about expressing to the players. Don't be selfish, you know, don't be an individual, be together and be a team. And he really did get that across to the players.
Coach, what are you going to be doing this fall?
Go back to with CBS. I leave on Thursday. We have a SEC show Thursday night, and then Saturday we're in the studio all day long covering all the conferences, all the football games. And then once a week I go with XM radio show. So I'm going to do this one more year.
Okay. And then hopefully next year get back into coaching?
Yeah, you know, if it's right. You know, if there's a place, I just I miss the game. I miss the locker room. I miss that relationships with the players. If there's a place that feel like that you know, I can make a difference and it fits right from the athletic director on, I'd love to coach again.
And Trey, when you look, and I'm not saying this just because he's here, but I believe this. If you look where Coach Nutt, where he goes – he leaves the program better than what he gets it. And so if you are looking out there for a coach, look at Ole Miss, look at Arkansas, you know, and Boise State, he left them better than when he got there. So you would have to be excited.
You have to be excited. You're exactly right about that. Coach, I want to ask you a question about some of the new rule changes this year, the targeting, the difference in the defenseless player, and then also being able to clock the ball. If you're going to clock it now to stop the clock, there has to be more than 3 seconds on the clock or else you've got to run a play.
Yeah. You know, all these rules right now, this is also, that goes back to your other question. This is the time too, that coaches will hit on all the different type of new rules, scenarios, like taking a safety, all those things that don't always come up. And this is the time you were, have, I covered everything, but you're exactly right. You know, you got to know, time and score. You have to know these rules. Targeting is always – really, that rule has been in place. It's just now there's so much more emphasis put on this.
And an
ejection has really done it. Exactly.
But the ejection too now, I think.
And now that's the one, Trey, you hit on, is the ejection. Now, you watch, because if you noticed what the ACC officials said compared to Big 12, the SEC, there's a lot of difference of opinion. Let's go back to the Jadeveon Clowney's hit. Looked like a good football hit to me.
And that's what I said. An offensive lineman misses his block.
Exactly.
And so now you're going to penalize the defense for that.
No way.
I think inside the box, it's tough to call that play.
It is. And to think now, if Coach Spurrier or anybody, that you're going to lose Jadeveon Clowney the next game because of that?
Right.
I don't know about that one. Now.
Not even. Let's take it a step further. If you get to a bowl game, you don't have an SEC crew calling that game.
Yeah.
You might have an ACC crew calling that game, and they might interpret it differently than an SEC crew would.
Right. It's just the inconsistency. There's going to be some problems on that. You can mark that down this year. There's going to be some problems with that rule, and especially with the enforcement. All antennas will be up because there needs to be some consistency with that call.
And I think, Coach, that there will be – this would be one thing Coach Wickie or Coach David Lee would be going over, that 3 seconds to spike the ball. There will be a team lose a game because they try to spike it under three on like a second down or something, rushing up there. I think there'll be one or two times that'll happen and hurt a team this year.
But I think one of those teams will be LSU.
You got to go over that with your quarterback. I mean, you have to. That's something new.
That's right.
Coach, we're about to get to the end of it here, about to be up against the heartbreak top of the hour. But you're coming to speak to Little Rock Touchdown Club this year. And, by the way, if you're just listening, we found out today that the first meeting, August 21st, with Brett Bielema is sold out. So it is sold out, but you'll be able to visit some other times. But I'm sure, Coach, that you're looking forward to coming back and speaking to them.
I really appreciate David asking me to come back and speak, and I'm looking forward to it.
All right. Sounds good. Coach, have so much fun down there. You and Matt, go draw up some plays or something.
Uh-oh. Yeah, thanks a lot, Coach, for stopping by.
You bet. All Enjoyed right. it.